Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus this morning. The title of my sermon this morning is Excuses, Excuses. Excuses, Excuses. What's your excuse for not serving the Lord? Exodus chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4, let's read verses 10 and 11, Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb? Or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind, have not I the Lord? Let's bow for prayer. O God, we are so grateful for the opportunity to study your word this morning. Please teach us, encourage us, instruct us, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We've been studying the excuses that Moses presented before the Lord as to why he could not possibly lead God's people out of bondage. And now we come to the last excuse that Moses presents before the Lord as to why he cannot effectively, he doesn't believe he can effectively lead the Israelites out of bondage. Here in verse number 10, Moses said to our Lord, I am not eloquent. I am not eloquent. Lord, I'm not well spoken. Lord, I am not articulate. I am not eloquent. Now, considering that statement, turn with me to Acts chapter 7, verse number 22, where Stephen, the man of God, makes reference to Moses as he preaches this lengthy sermon that leads him into eternity. He makes reference to Moses here in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And note what Stephen's understanding was of Moses. Acts 7, 22, it reads, And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. But Moses said before the Lord in Exodus chapter 4, Lord, I am not eloquent. But when you stop and think about it, Moses was raised in Egypt. He spent 40 years, he was well educated, he had the best of the best teachers, standard of living. So when he said to the Lord, I am not eloquent, it's hard to believe that he was really telling the truth. Moses was making another excuse. made up another excuse, presented another excuse as to why he cannot do what God had called him to do. Because according to Acts chapter 7 verse 22, Moses was not short of a quid. He was well educated. He experienced the best of the best education. He wasn't short of a quid. He was a very intelligent, capable individual, according to Stephen. But yet he said to the Lord, "I'm not eloquent." So once again, we see that Moses has another excuse as to why he can't serve God. He tried the issue of authority. He tried the issue or the excuse of, well, they're not going to believe me. How am I possibly going to lead them? And now he gets very, very personal and he said, "Lord, I'm not well spoken." "I'm not articulate. Lord, I don't speak good. I don't speak good. I don't like English. Don't like grammar. Never liked it. Not much good at it. I like numbers, not English. I'm not eloquent." Now, how does God deal with Moses with this final excuse that he has as to why he cannot serve the Lord? And let me challenge you once again, my friend. What excuse do you have? Or what are your excuses as to why you cannot serve God? See, God had a mission for Moses. And God has a mission for you. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God gives us gifts. We are saved by God's grace, and we are his workmanship, created unto good works. God has something for you. God has saved you by his grace, and God wants to use you for his glory. What is your excuse? Let me tell you why the laborers are few. Because many of us are full of excuses. Got all these excuses as to why we can't serve God. And why it's not the right time. And why it's not for me. And the list goes on and on. Now, how does God deal with Moses? We see here in verse number 10 the reasoning of Moses. In Exodus 4:10, he said to the Lord, "I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. I'm not fluent with my words, Lord. How can I possibly lead a nation out of Egypt? How can I possibly speak to Pharaoh? I'm not a good communicator, Lord. I don't like talking to people. I spent 40 years on the backside of the desert with dumb sheep that don't talk. Loved every minute of it." "Lord, I'm not a conversationalist. I'm not a good communicator. I'm definitely not convincing. I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue." In other words, Moses used the excuse that he was impaired naturally to do what God had called him to do. Now, some people believe this reference to a slow of speech, slow of tongue, meant that he had a stutter. I doubt it. Just making an excuse. What's your tangible reason or reasons for not moving forward for the Lord? Moses said, well, I'm not eloquent. I'm not well spoken. What's your excuse this morning? I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't have the experience. I don't have a uni degree. That might be a blessing. Blessing in disguise. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I wear glasses. I'm not sporty. We all have excuses as to why we do not do what we don't want to do. Moses had his excuses. His grand finale is, I am not well spoken. I'm not good with my words. I'm not eloquent. We know that God can use our natural abilities for His glory. But it's so important that you and I understand that God is not calling us to serve Him based upon our natural abilities. He wants you and I to just cast our rod before Him and obey Him fully. Now, God can take some of the abilities you have and use it for His glory. God is not after ability, God is after availability. There's a vast difference. We're reminded of that fact there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 30, it reads, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Not many doesn't mean they're not some. God can use the intelligent individual, the well-educated individual. But not many. Not many. But note God's preference in verse 27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Why? "That no flesh," verse 29, "should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." See, God, 9 times out of 10, will choose to use that which seems unusable, weak, frail. Why? So that God will get all the glory. God is into using people that are not eloquent. You turn it down a little bit, Jeremy. I'm getting louder in my older age. God delights to use those that are not well educated. God delights to use those that do not look the part. God likes to use those that have an impediment. Why? So that God will get all the glory. And even though Moses thought, what a wonderful excuse I have, I've got God sealed now. God, I just don't have the eloquence. God can use our natural abilities. But see, God is not after your ability. God is after your availability. That's why the laborers are few. That's why some of you won't go into the ministry. That's why some of you are not serving God. Now, God has given you a voice, for example, to sing. Some of you are members of this church. You are doing nothing for God's glory as a ministry in this church. Zilch. And yet you've got a voice. You can sing. Why don't you join the choir? Let me tell you why. Excuses. You haven't cast down your rod. Your heart's full of selfishness. You just want to do what you want to do. Are we still friends? Yeah. You think God has called you to sit, to come to church and sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing for God? Get off the grass, will you? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And if God gives you life and breath, God wants to use you for His glory. Moses said, I'm not eloquent. Note God's response to that back in Exodus chapter 4. God said to Moses in verse 11, who made your mouth? Who gives you the ability to see, hear? Have not I the Lord? Who made your mouth? Who enables you to speak? Who enables you to see? Who enables you to hear? Have not I the Lord? D.L. Moody was an American evangelist who ministered in the 1800s. D.L. Moody started his career as an uneducated shoe salesman, but turned into one of the greatest evangelists of all time. With only a fifth grade education, he seemed to be uniquely unqualified for his lifelong calling. His grammar was terrible, and he was far from eloquent. But he took his plain talk approach to evangelism and preached the gospel throughout America and Great Britain, and in the process leading hundreds of thousands of souls to Jesus Christ. Moody today is known as probably the greatest evangelist of the 19th century. And even though he was ill-educated, poorly educated, he gave his life to God. And though he butchered the Queen and the King's English at the same time, every time he preached, countless souls were saved to Jesus Christ. After one meeting, he had a university student, of course, university student, that approached him after he preached. He said, "Mr. Moody, you made 18 grammatical errors in that sermon." Now, Mr. Moody was not an educated man, but he was witty with his words. He was quick. He said to this university student, he said, "Young man, listen to me good. I may have made all of those mistakes. I may have made all of those mistakes. But at least I am serving God with the grammar I have. What are you doing with the grammar that you have?" See, God said to Moses, "Moses, who made your mouth? Who gives you the ability to speak, to see, to hear? Have not I the Lord?" And note verse 12, please, of Exodus chapter 4. That God said to Moses, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. See, God's response was, "Who made your mouth, Moses? Who gives you the ability to hear, to see, to speak?" See, God makes no mistakes. He will take that which is his and use it for his glory. See, God is not after eloquence. God is after availability. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible reads, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." So God reminded Moses that really, you need to understand, Moses, that you are mine. I made you. I've given you the abilities that you have. I just want your availability, Moses. Not after your abilities. I'm after availability. And in verse 12, God gives Moses the assurance, "I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. So go. Go. What's stopping you? Do it. Just do it." Nike got it right on that one. Just do it. Do what God has called you to do, and I will be with your mouth. I will give you the ability to do what I'm calling you to do. See, God's calling is always God's enabling, is it not? I'm a pastor. I'm not eloquent. I can never do what you're doing. Listen to me. I had a stutter. I stuttered as a kid. Big time. I worked out a way of how to get out of reading in class. And the way that I did it was, when we went around the classroom, I remember doing this in my primary school days, we would read through a book. I would purposely not keep up, because I had teachers back then that if you weren't ready to read, the teacher would just go on to the next one. So I just daydreamed, did my own thing mentally, because I was so afraid to read out aloud because I knew I would stutter. But then I got to high school. Didn't work. I still remember Mr. Eggleton in year 8. Thank God for Mr. Eggleton. He worked me out pretty quick. He began to pick on me. He got me reading in class. He made me read. As you can see, I don't stutter now. You're probably wishing, Pastor, it'd be good if you could just go back to your stuttering. My point is this, beloved, God's calling is God's enabling. And whatever your excuse is, it doesn't cut it with God. And for Moses, we know he was well educated. We know he was good with his words. Because Stephen testifies of that in the book of Acts. It was just an excuse. And God said to Moses, I'll give you the words to say. And note in verse number 13, Moses reacts to that. See, when you've got an excuse, or you've made up your mind that you just don't want to do what God wants you to do, it's amazing how excuses beget excuses. Note in verse number 13 what he said to God. O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now, what does that mean? What was Moses saying to God? What Moses was basically saying was, Lord, here am I. Are you listening to me? Lord, here am I. Send somebody else. That's what he's saying. Lord, here am I. But send somebody else. God had just told him to go. And God had just told him, I'm going to give you the words to say in verse 12. But Moses was brash enough to say, Lord, send somebody else. Moses no doubt thought that somebody else could do a better job, and maybe somebody else could do a better job. But the point we need to understand as Bible-believing Christians is that God wants to use you. You do not have to have the greatest voice to sing for God's glory.
You don't have to be a master musician to play the piano in church. You don't have to be a gold medalist to be involved in young people's ministry. But you've got to be sporty. I've never won a gold medal, so I don't qualify. The list goes on and on. See, God wants to use you. You don't have to be the best of the best. Lord, here am I. Send somebody else. Is that your attitude this morning? See, it's not our job to call others to God's service, or even to suggest to God, so-and-so would be a good person for that, Lord. Because if God's called you, God's called you. And God wants to work in and through you. So stop pointing the finger at others. Be mindful there are three fingers pointing back at you. Now, our Lord was not impressed. Do you believe me? God was not impressed. How do I know that? Look at the next verse. Are you still with me? Look at the verse. Look at this. What does it say? And what? The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God was angry. Who was God angry against? Moses was brash and bold enough to say, Lord, pick somebody else. And that made God angry. Moses made God angry in suggesting somebody else to do the job that God had called him to do. See, God discerns our disobedience. And no doubt God discerned that Moses was speaking out of a heart of disobedience. Not of fear. God's anger, deep displeasure, that's what anger is, it's a deep displeasure. God's anger is holy. God's anger is just. We can't relate to that. The anger you and I express is selfish. But God's anger is perfect. God has a perfect hatred. God can reflect perfect anger embedded in holiness and justice, but not you and I. We're not much good at it. God was angry at Moses because Moses refused to do what God had called him to do. So, question, at the end of the day, what makes God angry? Well, what are one of the things that makes God angry? Talk to me. Disobedience. Let's say it together. Disobedience. Are you making God angry? I think if the truth be known, we all anger God. Regularly. God was angry with Moses because he simply refused to obey. When was the last time you made somebody angry? Maybe on the way to church this morning, you failed to put your indicator on changed lane, you didn't look. Beep. Congratulations, you made somebody angry this morning. But our disobedience doesn't please God. Do you really think that God's attitude is, oh, she'll be right, that's okay. That's nothing. All good. All good. What a stupid saying. Really. All good. No, it's not. We live in a fallen world. People go to hell. Not all good. None good. Not all good. Not biblical. All good. We pick and choose when we obey God. All good. Really? Don't think so. God told Moses to go in verse 12. Verse 13, Moses said to God, pick somebody else. Verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. But yet God, in his displeasure, was gracious to Moses. And from verses 14 to 16, God said to Moses, Moses, I'll give you a spokesman. You reckon the English is not good. You reckon that you are lost for words at prime times. That's what you reckon? Okay, we'll help you out. This is what we'll do, Moses. You've got a brother. His name's Aaron. When you go back to Egypt, you finally obey me, he's going to come out to meet you. In fact, he's going to be happy to see you. I'm going to have Aaron as your spokesman. I'm going to tell you what I want said. I want you to tell Aaron. And Aaron can tell Pharaoh. Right? Got it. The graciousness of God. Verse 16, he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to him instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Just like I'm your authority, Moses, you will be an authority for Aaron. I will tell you what to say. You will tell him. You will hold him accountable for what I've told you to tell him. The graciousness of God. On the one hand, God was angry, but yet we see God's graciousness. And we will see in the weeks to come. Guess who will do all the talking? Moses. I told you it was just an excuse. What's your excuse? What is your excuse? So God, in dealing with Moses, God in his graciousness, said to Moses, Moses, I'll give you a spokesman. You think you're not eloquent? I'll give you a spokesman. Somebody that you know. Your own brother, Aaron. not a stranger. That's the grace of God.
Excuses, excuses. We hear them all the time. What is your excuse for not being fully surrendered to the Lord? What is your excuse for not doing what God would have you to do? As I said earlier, D.L. Moody was not well educated, but he was very witty with his words. And he said to this university student, I use all the grammar I have for the Lord. I might have made 80 mistakes, but I use all the grammar I have for the Lord. What are you doing with yours? Beloved, the laborers are few. The fields are white under harvest. If you've received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, God has a job for you. God has a ministry for you. Yes, it might be right here in the local church, but it might not be. It might be outside of the walls of this church. Are you willing to just let go of all that you are holding on to and say, Lord, here am I. I'm willing to do. I'm willing to go where you want me to go. Excuses, excuses. What's your excuse for not serving the Lord? Moving forward for the Lord. This is the last and grand finale for Moses. The authority one didn't work. The ability excuse didn't work. Now he goes for the articulate excuse. But that just made God angry. Are we making God angry with our disobedience? I invite you to obey God. Obey God. Not pastor. Who am I to tell you what God has for you? God can do that. Good and well. He doesn't need any help. And you know right now what God wants you to do. Do it. And stop making God angry. Let's bow for prayer.